Well, let's jump right into the message. We're still in the series In the Beginning. In the first week, we talked about hearing God's voice out of Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created, and then he said, "Let there be light." Guess what? God still speaks to us today, and he shows us the path that we're to walk. One of my life verses, Psalms 119:105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And my prayer is that you hear God's voice and you know the next step to take. He doesn't always light like with high beams a mile down the road, but he does show you the next step. And if you're wondering what that is, I mean, it's always that first step is always a commitment to him, like knowing he's good, that he is light, that in him is no darkness at all. That's out of the Bible. And choosing to follow his path, that means you have to surrender your own. And the second step is for you to connect with people on that journey. Because even in Genesis, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, he says it's not good that Adam was alone. And the reality is that we all need other people. And it says, it's not good that Adam is alone, that the man is alone. I'll create someone who can help him. And man, that should tell us that we need help. But the truth is that all of us, we all need help, and we're all called to help. And the body of Christ, like that's kind of a weird term if you're not familiar with it, but that it means that we all have like a body, different functions, and we all need each other. And so, if we look in the beginning, God's saying, "Hey, I've got a purpose and a plan. I'm lighting the path for you, but you need to walk it with other people." And if you've taken those first two steps, that's awesome. It also usually invites the enemy in to knock you off that path and away from people. And that's what we're going to look at today in Ezra chapter 4, which, by the way, is part of our McShane reading plan right at the beginning, the fourth day. So if you've already engaged with the McShane plan, you've been reading that, you've read this. If not, you can still jump in. You can find that. Actually, I think there'll probably be a link in the description on this video where you can plug into that, or on Facebook or our website. But here's what we see. We see in Ezra chapter 4, the nation of Israel had been taken into captivity. The king of Babylon had come and decimated the whole region, the whole area. And he took the majority of the population of Israel back to Babylon. And yet God moved on the heart of their leader 70 years later, and Zerubbabel and Yeshua took a contingency of a total of about 50,000 people back to Jerusalem. So these Israelis were going back to their homeland, and it had been prophesied, and they were super excited, and they were sent by King Cyrus, who had a visitation from God, even though he was not the best of guys. And he was told by the Lord moved on his heart, said, "Send, you know, this group of Israelis back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple." And so he charged them with doing that. Now they're going home to their native land, 50,000 of them together on a very dangerous and long journey. And they get to Jerusalem and they begin to rebuild the temple. So they're walking down the path that God has for them, and they're walking it together. But then the enemy shows up. And so I want us to look at how the enemy, how he works, his tactics to knock us out of the place, out of the path, and with the people that God's put in our lives. You ready? So in chapter 4, remember, they're rebuilding the temple that had been completely leveled. It says, "The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders." Okay, let's just pause. The enemy always hears when you're on the right path doing the right thing. I want you to understand that. He always hears and he always shows up, but he's pretty smart. He doesn't always show up in the manner that you think. Like, he doesn't come in and like with guns blazing or swords drawn. Look at what it says. It says, "The enemies heard that the exiles were rebuilding the temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, 'Let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do.'" Wow. Here's tactic one. It's tactic of the enemy to knock you off of the place and the plan that God has for you. That path and that plan that God has for you. He's going to send you the wrong people that say that they want to build with you, but in reality, the enemy is using them to bring you to a place that is far from what God has for you. It's to stop the work of God in your life. This is right out of Ezra chapter 4. We see this, that these enemies said, hey, we want to build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We sacrificed to him ever since Eshardan of Assyria brought us here. What's the tactic of the enemy? The tactic of the enemy is seldom when we're following the Lord to like I'm going to do the right thing in whatever your temptation is. He doesn't typically come in out of the gate with like, oh, here's this temptation. It's just like a one-off, like, he'll put the wrong people around you to get you to move just one degree off of where you should be. But when you're walking, okay, so if you've ever been in a boat or you've ever piloted an aircraft, back in the day, I thought I wanted to be a pilot, and I actually did everything up through my check ride and all of that to get my pilot's license. And I found this thing to be true. I remember doing my solo flight, and you had to use instruments. We weren't at that time even allowed to use the GPS and the glass cockpits. And I found that if you were just one or two degrees off on your compass heading, after a couple hours, you way off. This is the tactic of the enemy, just to go just a little bit. And he knows if he can get you just a little bit in the wrong direction because you're following the wrong people, hanging out with those that say they want to build with you, but really the enemy's using them to get you off track, he's won. So, let us build with you. But look at how, that's his tactic. Look what the leaders, Zerubbabel, who's the main leader, and Yeshua and the other leaders, look what they say. It says, verse 3, but Zerubbabel, Yeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, you may have no part in this work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us. Here's my commendation. Like here's what I'm commending you to do. Get with people that you know have a heart for the Lord and build with them. Build with them. The tactic of the enemy is to get you off of the path that God is lighting before you just a little bit. He's not going to be like, hey, you ever thought about being an axe murderer? Come on now, seriously. But what he may do, the enemy may come in and say, oh, yeah, what you're doing is really good. Like, yeah, I'm doing good things. Just do this. This is always his first tactic. At least most of the time. And so how did they counter it? They countered it by saying, no, we're building, we're following the word of the Lord to rebuild this temple. Look at verse 4, because here's where we see the second tactic of the enemy. Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. How does the enemy discourage and frighten? With these guys, it says this, it says they bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia. How does the enemy discourage and frighten us and frustrate our plans? Here's how I've seen this most of the time. He does this. Oh, you think you're a goody two-shoes? You think you're good enough to do what God's called you to do? You can't do that. And then he'll paint the picture that you just don't want to see, like worst case scenario. Like, what if you do this? Oh my gosh, you're stepping out in faith and you're going to tell somebody that you've been praying for them and that you're serving the Lord. Oh, you want to financially give? You want to tithe? Oh, you can't do that. Do you know? The tactic of the enemy is always to discourage and frighten you. And here's the thing, the work is work. Like the work is, what God's called you to is awesome and amazing, but it doesn't just happen miraculously. Even go back and listen to last week, we have to participate in the move of God in our life. And the enemy is always going to come at you. And seldom, by the way, does the enemy attack your weaknesses. He doesn't need to, you're already weak there. He attacks your strength. So like, what's your strength? Maybe you're great with people and you begin to doubt, well, whoa, what if I tell people that what God's done in my life? Or like, I don't know about that. And you begin to be discouraged. He discourages you. And then he shows you nothing but the losses in your life or the failures in your life. And he paints a picture that freaks you out. This is how he operates. His second tactic is discouragement. And it's fear. So what do you do to counter that? So, and by the way, he usually doesn't wait for you to counter him. He just continues on. Years later, when Xerxes began his reign, so now they're having to work to rebuild. This is a many years process. This is a years long process. And so they're having to fight through discouragement and fear. Let me just say, that is not a sign of spiritual immaturity or weakness when you feel discouraged or you experience fear, because your level of faith is not determined by what you feel. Your feelings should never be the thing that dictates your action and where your heart is. See, feelings are great data. They're terrible dictators. So it is not uncommon for great men and women of God to feel discouraged or even depressed or to look at the future and there's a feeling of fear. What makes them great men and women of faith is not that they never feel those things, because we do. We just do. We live in a broken world where the enemy has a lot of authority and power, and he primarily will begin to, if he can't come alongside and build with us, and you know the things in your life that you need to tear down that are from the enemy, and you say, no, you can't build with me. When you do that, his next tactic is always going to be discouragement and fear. Great men and women of God experience those things, but what makes them great is not because they can just push those feelings aside. No, they still feel them. It's not like they don't feel them because they're over here. They act in spite of them. And then they learn this practice of when you're discouraged or when you're fearful, what you do is the very thing that you lack, you give that away. So if you lack courage, you go and encourage somebody else. If you're going, oh, I don't know if I can do this, you just go to somebody else full of the power of God in your life and use your mouth to say, I know that God's going to use you to do something, and watch, because you've sowed those seeds of encouragement and faith. Watch them be fulfilled in your life. So they keep working, but the enemy does as well. And so we see this, that years later, there's this, a years-long process. The enemies of Judah, verse 6, wrote a letter of accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And so he writes to Xerxes, their enemies write this letter, say they should not be doing this. It's a rebellious city, and you need to shut this down, Xerxes. And Xerxes reads the letter. And they say, search the archives. Jerusalem's always been a hotbed of insurrection and rebellion. They make accusations. The enemy will accuse you, and people may come out to condemn you. But don't let that be the thing that moves you. Trust God through it all. And here's the thing. Like, if we read this story, so the enemy tries to build with them. They're like, no way. Well, maybe let the enemy build some things in your life that need to be torn down. Tear those things down, because they're really strongholds that the enemy used to camp out in your life. If you do that, don't be surprised if there's discouragement and fear that comes your way. That's okay. Encourage others. Sow seeds of faith in others. You'll never truly be able to encourage others or sow seeds of faith if you're not reading God's word, letting it be the foundation of your life, not just reading it, but following it and living it. And then that next level is usually people will begin to accuse you. They may accuse you of, oh, you're not really this, you're not that. Keep going. But Xerxes does the search through the archives, like that letter said that he should, and his response, let me see if I can find it here. His response is that, I ordered a search of the records. I found that Jerusalem has indeed been a hotbed of insurrection against many kings. In fact, rebellion and revolt are normal there. Powerful kings have ruled over Jerusalem and the entire province west of the Euphrates, receiving tribute, custom, and tolls. Therefore, issue orders to have these men stop their work, that the city must not be rebuilt except at my express command. And when this letter from King Artaxerxes was read, this is verse 23, to Rehum, Shimshai, and their colleagues, they hurried to Jerusalem. Then with a show of strength, they forced the Jews to stop building. Here's the thing. There are seasons and times where the enemy seems to have won, because he seems to have stopped, and maybe even practically, he stopped some things in your life. But can I just say, the only way that he's truly ever going to stop some things, the thing that God wants to do and the purpose of God, the only way he'll ever be able to stop the purpose of God in your life is if you surrender. So, you know what? Circumstances may dictate. Like, you may have felt like God's called me to build this business, and then bam, like the hurricane comes and it's destroyed. You don't have to surrender, even though you may have to have temporarily stopped. So here's what I've seen so often. Like, people hit a roadblock and they're like, God, what happened? Where are you? Here's the thing. Don't give up. Keep going. Hold faith. Know that God's with you. Don't surrender because the enemy seems to have won. So many people, like, they stop, like, right at the goal line. Like, if you look at that red zone defense, man, the enemy has a great red zone defense, and it's like he shuts you down right at the red zone. But guess what? You still got another down. Push through. And here's what you see in chapter 5, that we see King Artaxerxes is defeated. Darius comes to power, and they get to build again the temple because they never gave up in their heart. There may have been a temporary pause where the enemy seems to have won, but because they never surrendered in their heart and they continued to push through prayer, and even in some practice, if you read this story, they saw the place of God and the temple rebuilt because they stood in faith. The tactic of the enemy is to build with you. Don't let that happen. The tactic of the enemy is to discourage you and fill you with fear. Don't give in to that. The tactic of the enemy is to accuse you and maybe write to somebody else or call somebody else. And maybe circumstances may come around where there's a temporary setback, but don't let it be a stopping point. Keep believing. Keep standing. You know, it's interesting to me that as we look at Genesis chapter 2 and 3, that we see the temptation of Adam and Eve in chapter 2. We see the temptation of Cain in chapter 3. And this is all part of the McShane reading plan. In Matthew, we see the temptation of Jesus. In Ezra, and these are all like Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. In Ezra chapter 4, the temptation of these people who are called to build the place of God for them and for their families and future generations. In Acts chapter 4, we see the temptation to give in to the fears people were coming against and saying, shut up, you're not allowed to speak these things. But how did they keep going? How did Ezra, or actually Zerubbabel and Yeshua, keep going? And Ezra the priest is in this book as well. How did Jesus keep going? Well, I'm just going to briefly turn as we wrap up. In Matthew 4, Jesus held fast to Scripture. And when the enemy came to tempt him, when Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and Lucifer himself showed up and said, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus quoted Deuteronomy, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And then in the next temptation, he's taken up to the highest point of the temple, and Lucifer says, why don't you jump off of the temple? You know that your father's going to send his angels to catch you, and you're not going to hurt yourself at all. And Jesus quotes Scripture again. He says, the Scripture says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. And then Satan says, hey, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you everything, all the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus quotes Scripture. He says, you must not worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The tactic of the enemy and the temptation of the enemy is always to get you to quit or take a shortcut. May shortcuts and quitting never be an option. And the way that you defeat those temptations and you stay on the path and with the people that God's called you with is by living by his word. Just as Zerubbabel and Yeshua and all the leaders held on to the word that had been given them at the command of the Lord to go back and rebuild the temple, just as Jesus countered Satan himself with the word of God, with Scripture, when we live by the word that God has spoken to us right here, this is how we defeat the power of the enemy in our life. My prayer for you is that you walk in strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So stick with him. Keep walking the path. Walk it with the people that God's called you to. Keep building the place that God's called you to build. And when the enemy shows up, stand on this. and surrender all to Him. Have faith. Don't let the enemy take you out. That's it for today. I love you guys. And listen, if God's dealing with you, connect with us. Let us know what's going on. Love you guys, praying for you. Please reach out, fill out the connect card. If God's dealing with you, if there's something that you need to pray for, or you know that you need to surrender, let us know. We want to connect with you and help you grow. Grow in your walk with God, grow together, and grow in understanding how to defeat the enemy and walk in the path and the place that God has for you. Love you guys. See you soon. God bless.